Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we welcome back Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America Swahili Service Chief, for more NBA hoops talk. But first, a quick look at Tuesday night's two NBA playoff games. The Toronto Raptors and the Denver Nuggets both posted big victories at home. The Raptors soared past the visiting Philadelphia 76ers to take a 3-2 series lead. The AP's John Lethierby reports from Toronto, Canada.
Toronto's Game 5, 125-89 throttling of Philadelphia was as much about what the Sixers' starting five couldn't produce compared to what the Raptors did offensively. Toronto had the game in control, beginning the fourth quarter with a 22-point lead. It was as high as 40 inside the final 90 seconds. The Raptors' Pascal Siakam, himself bothered earlier in the series by a calf contusion, led all scorers with 25 points.
Everyone kind of gets touches and we play on the run and everyone kind of gets involved. You know, I think we did a pretty good job tonight, just getting stops and running.
Joel Embiid, still bothered by a stomach ailment, had just 13 points for Philadelphia.
No, can't control my physical condition, but I can also control how much I push myself, and I try to do that, but I just got to do more.
Jimmy Butler was the Sixers' top scorer with 22. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Denver, Colorado, where the Denver Nuggets posted a 26-point victory against the Portland Trail Blazers. The AP's Randy Stahl reports from Denver.
After four close playoff games, the Nuggets posted their fifth largest margin of victory in a postseason game by clobbering the Trailblazers 124-98. Denver led wire to wire in Game 5 to take a 3-2 series lead. Nikola Jokic recorded a double-double with 25 points and 19 rebounds, tying a Nugget playoff record for rebounds. Jokic said that winning the series on the road will be a difficult challenge.
It's going to be a really tough game. We were in this position with San Antonio. It's going to be really tough, probably one of the toughest games of our lives.
Denver's Paul Millsap scored 24 points.
Defensively, I think we did a really good job of taking them out of what they want to do. Offensively, I think they tried a few things, to switch a few things up. We read them pretty quickly. And most importantly, I think guys were locked in today. I think that's the most important thing.
Damian Lillard scored 22 points to lead Portland. Randy Stahl, Denver.
Thanks, Randy. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the VOA Swahili Service Chief. Sporty greetings and welcome back, Mwamoyo.
Thank you, Sonny. Sporty greetings.
The teams are winnowing down as we go on in the NBA playoffs, Mwamoyo. Let's begin out in Denver. We just heard that report, and we heard Nikola Jokic in the report. The Serbian big man really playing well in the playoffs.
He's playing very well, and that's the way it's been throughout the season. He has been playing well, posting double-double throughout the regular season, and he's doing the same thing now, playing very well for the team. He had a double-double in this crushing defeat of Portland Trail Blazers. Of course, he gets a lot of help from young men, Jamal Murray, and then there's veteran Paul Millsap. That combination, makes Denver very, very good team. And Jokic, talking about Jokic is quickly becoming one of the best big men to ever play the game right now, the numbers he's posting.
Very versatile big man, good passer too.
Good passer, he can shoot, he can dribble, he does everything on the pitch. He's doing very well for Denver Nuggets.
I remember in the regular season, Mwamoyo, we kept talking about the Nuggets. How are they so high up in the standings?
How are they going to survive?
And
exactly,
looks like they could make it to the Western Conference Finals.
They're likely to make it because now Portland Trail Blazers, which is another very talented team, and everybody expected them to get to the finals, but they have been up and down in this series, they have not been very consistent. So that, and when you are playing a team like Denver, which, again, has Jokic, Jamal Murray, Millsap, and a host of other, you know, players, they don't look like they will make it, and you know they could be eliminated.
Let's go to Toronto now. Last night, the Raptors with another crushing victory over Philadelphia. We heard from the two Cameroonian players, Joel Embiid and Pascal Siakam. Siakam had the upper hand last night.
So far, Siakam is winning the game against his countryman, Joel Embiid. That crushing defeat last night in Toronto, you know, is now Philadelphia, you know, are going back home to play the game five tomorrow. And they're playing in their court, you know, stadium. And you know, in America, in the basketball world, Philadelphia fans are the most unforgiving fans in the basketball world. And depending on how they start the game, depending on the first few minutes of the game, don't be surprised if you hear boos from the fans. Because right now they are facing elimination, and Joel Embiid is not playing very well, as our report said. He got this stomach, you know, ailment, and his energy level is low. He's not making smart decisions on the court. He's making turnovers. You know, he makes bad passes, and his play, because Philadelphia, you know, they depend on his play. When he plays well, everybody plays well.
Right, he's the spark plug.
Exactly. So the way he's playing now is affecting all other players. The point guard, I forgot the name. What's the point guard of Philadelphia?
Oh, J.J. Redick.
No, Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy
Butler actually said after the game that if I was the coach, we're not even going to look at the tape. We just want to go practice and go to the next game. That's how bad they played. So, you know, they're in a very bad position right now.
Toronto's star player is Kawhi Leonard. He's played well in the series, Momoyo. And yet there's some question marks whether he'll return to Toronto. He becomes a free agent. Do you see him coming back to Canada?
I think if they make it to the finals, I think he is coming back. And we don't see where else would he go. I mean, there are a lot of teams that would like to, you know, get him. Los Angeles Lakers is one of them. New York Knicks is building up. But depending on what happens in these playoffs, they go to the Eastern Conference Finals and they go to the finals, I think he'll come back.
Let's take a look at the games later Wednesday night, Momoyo. The games will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Oakland, California. In Milwaukee, the Bucks have a chance to close out the Celtics. They lead the Celtics 3-1. Did you expect a more competitive series?
I expected a more competitive series, but I'm not surprised with what's happening now because Boston Celtics, they have not been very consistent in the whole season. They've been up and down. Besides, Milwaukee Bucks have been playing very well. And, of course, you have
Giannis,
the Greek freak. Giannis, move out of the way, Antetokounmpo. Because when he comes, everybody has to move out of the way. And he is playing. Game number one, he wasn't very good. They found a way to stifle him. But from then on, he has been playing very well. So the talk in the basketball world right now is, will Kyrie Irving be wearing the Celtics jersey next season?
Kyrie getting a lot of criticism right now.
Yeah, because, see, Kyrie is a very good player, very talented, extremely talented. You know, he can play in, you know, under pressure and all that. But the fact of the matter is he is not a leader. And that's what has been ailing Boston Celtics. You have all these young players, talented, but they don't have a good leader. And I think Kyrie is suffering from that. And, you know, New York Knicks is calling. So if you don't see him in Boston Celtics next year, don't be surprised.
Momoyo, in Oakland, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors, they're in a hotly contested series with the Houston Rockets. Game five, the series is even at 2-1. How do you see this series?
Everybody's looking at this game tonight. Whoever wins this, both teams need this game. If Golden State Warriors lose Game 5 tonight at home, then it becomes extremely difficult for them to win Game 6 in Houston. On the other hand, if Houston loses tonight, that would break their confidence. And going back home to play Golden State Warriors, and we know Golden State Warriors, once they smell the blood, you know, they can close the series very quickly. So both teams are in a place where they need to win the game tonight. Now it becomes to, you know, who wants it, you know.
Who wants it more?
More, you know, and they both want it more. But who will go out there and show up? You know, Houston Rockets have been playing very tough. They're pushing Golden State Warriors the way they have never been pushed before. And I think that's what has set back our Golden State Warriors. So if Golden State Warriors can find their feet, you know, down in at home, then we have, perhaps we'll get Golden State Warriors winning tonight.
How would you rate Steph Curry's performance so far against the Rockets, the two-time league most valuable player? Sort of like Embiid, he's been up and down. I know he's had a hand injury. What are your thoughts?
He's been up and down, and he played well in one game, and that was the last game, which they lost also. The other games, he's been up and down. He lost that last second. Nobody knows what was that. Was he trying to dunk? Was he trying? And you know, but Golden State Warriors, they don't have to worry too much about Steph Curry, because Steph Curry can turn it on anytime. You know, the thing is, KD is playing very well, but if Curry plays well and Klay Thompson gets as many touches as he needs, then they're in good position.
Well, next week, Memorial, we should know the four teams left ready to duel in the conference championship series. Any predictions at this point?
Well, it's difficult, but I think Bucks is going to the finals, and that means Toronto is also going to the finals for the Eastern Conference. So you have Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors. Those are my prediction. In the Western Conference, I think Denver Nuggets will beat Trail Blazers, but the game, Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets, that's you know, up in the air.
You're going to stay on the fence.
He can go. Yeah, he can go anyway.
Thanks, Mamoyo. That's Mamoyo Hoops Hamza, the voice of America's Swahili service chief. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with reaction to Liverpool's remarkable 4-0 comeback victory against Barcelona Tuesday that lifted the English club into the UEFA Champions League football final on June 1st. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Mohamed Salah was silent on the sidelines during Tuesday's match, but his shirt spoke volumes. It read, "Never give up." And Liverpool did not. The Reds overturned a 3-goal deficit to deliver one of the greatest comebacks in UEFA Champions League history. Here is Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp.
I said to the boys before the game, I don't think it's possible, but because it's you, I think we have a chance. Because they are really mentality giants. It's unbelievable. That's after the season we played, the games we had, the injuries we have now in this moment. If you go out there and ask who bet a penny on us, I don't think you find a lot of people. So and then going out there and putting a performance like this on the pitch is unbelievable. I'm really proud to be the manager of this team. It's unbelievable. But what they did tonight is so special, and I will remember it forever, 100%.
and so will the fans. 6 minutes into the match, Divock Origi gave Liverpool an early 1-0 lead, and the hits kept on coming. Substitute Jorginho Wijnaldum came off the bench in the second half to fire off 2 goals in 2 minutes to tie it 3-3 on aggregate. And then the teamwork of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Divock Origi sealed the night with a bow. In fact, Alexander-Arnold's corner kick hat trick pass was so clever, nobody saw it coming, not even Jurgen Klopp.
We all know that you need luck in this situation, or a genius moment like Trent Alexander-Arnold. Wow. I saw the ball flying in the net and had no clue who took the corner and who scored, because that was too quick for me. Now I saw it back, and it's just incredible. Smart.
On Tuesday's show, I played a clip of Alexander-Arnold, who said going into the match, the team had a belief within themselves that anything is possible, especially at Anfield. And he hoped they would be able to produce one of those special nights. Well, the win was not only special, it was historic. Afterwards, the crowd of over 54,000 sang "You'll Never Walk Alone" in an emotional tribute to their team. And Jurgen Klopp said he could not have won without the fans at Anfield.
We know that this club is the mix of atmosphere, emotion, desire, and football quality. Without you cut off one, it doesn't work. We know that. I've said it before. For me, this club, if I have to describe it, it's a big heart. And tonight, it was obviously like crazy. What is it? Bound? No, but if the heart is doing this?
Pounding.
Pounding like crazy. And you could hear it probably and feel it all over the world. So it's just unbelievable. I'm so happy that we could give the people this experience. And I'm really happy about having another chance.
The electricity was still in the air the next morning from fans still buzzing over Liverpool's stunning comeback victory.
It's the best game at Anfield, but our best comeback ever. When Anfield's rocking, it's hotter than Dante's Inferno. White hot.
It's a historical game, historical night, and honestly, I have to say, we didn't believe Madrid would make it. I know it's not good to say that, but they made it, and it's stunning. It's amazing. It's unheard of.
Last night was unbelievable. It was just like nerves after nerves. Every kick that was going in the ground, it was just absolutely unbelievable. It was electric. Jurgen Klopp is an absolute god around here now. Back-to-back Champions League. We're only going to lose the league if we do lose the league by 1 point. We'll be back next year. We are a force to be reckoned with now. Bring it on, anyone. Liverpool Football Club, we're never going to stop.
Jurgen Klopp has led Liverpool to their second consecutive Champions League final, where they will face either Ajax or Tottenham Hotspur, who currently trails Ajax 1-0. But first, the Reds have another hill to climb in the Premier League. They sit just 1 point behind Manchester City and are set to host Wolverhampton in a must-win battle on Sunday. Liverpool is only the third team in the history of the European Cup or the Champions League to come from 3 goals down after the first leg of a semifinal to advance to the final round. Sonny, in the words of Trent Alexander-Arnold, anything is possible. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I like that. Anything is possible. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from the president of the Nigeria Football Federation.
My name is Amar Jemba Pinnick, President of the Nigerian Football Federation, first Vice President of CAF, and a member of the organizing committee for FIFA competitions. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Amaju Melvin Pinnick, for that big shout-out. The senior CAF and Nigeria football official says he believes Egypt will host a memorable 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. The competition will be staged from June 21st to July 19th at six stadiums in Egypt. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Amaju Pinnick said he's been receiving daily briefings about Egypt's preparations.
The preparation has been going on very well. I have daily reports from the various subcommittees and the administration. And I believe Egypt is going to put up a spectacular performance in terms of organization and running of the event, you know, because they've invested so much. And traditionally, Egypt is a very proud footballing nation, and they eagerly anticipating this championship, being the first time to be played in the summer, and also having the 24-man team.
Talking about the 24-team format, initially AFCON started with 3 teams to 18 format to 16 teams. What's the advantage or the importance of this new format introduced by the Confederation of African Football?
Yeah, giving so many countries the privilege of being in the AFCON. For example, Madagascar, Burundi, Mauritania, you know, all these are countries that possibly wouldn't have been if there was no 24-man. But again, you have to look at the economic or the advantage, because if you look at the more games you play, the football relies on TV rights. And the more games you play, the more TV, the merrier. So to me, it's more football, and there are a lot of advantages. Although it has its own disadvantages, which of course the advantages outrightly surpasses.
Are we expecting an increase in prize money for the winner of this edition of AFCON?
I think there's a proposal, I don't know, towards the effect, which I don't think there's anything radical in terms of prize money, but I think there's a proposal, but I'm not very sure, so I don't want to comment on it.
That's Amaju Pinnick, the president of the Nigeria Football Federation and first vice president of the Confederation of African Football, CAF. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. In terms of 2019 Nations Cup prize money, the winner of the July 19th final in Cairo will receive $4.5 million. And the runners-up will receive $2.5 million. This is an increase from the 2017 Nations Cup in Gabon, where the winner, Cameroon, received $4 million and the runners-up, Egypt, got $2 million. All 24 participating teams at Egypt 2019 will receive at least $600,000. In more Nations Cup news, the captain of Nations Cup-bound Tanzania, Mbwana Samata, has won the Ebony Shoe Award in Belgium for his outstanding season with Genk. The 26-year-old Samata is the joint top scorer in Belgium's top flight league so far this season with 23 goals. The Ebony Shoe Award is presented to Belgium's best African player or player of African descent. The very first winner of the Ebony Shoe Award was Nigeria's Daniel Amakachi in 1992, and he won again 2 years later. Previous winners also include Belgium internationals Vincent Kompany and Romelu Lukaku, as well as Egypt's Mido. The Moroccan Embarque Bassoufa is the only player to win the award 3 times. Samata's club Genk is in first place in the Belgian First Division with a 6-point lead over Club Bruges with 3 matches remaining. And I'm sure Tanzania's head coach, 1994 African Footballer of the Year, Emmanuel Amunike, has closely monitored Samata's performance this season as the Taifa Stars get ready for their first Nations Cup appearance in 39 years. And that wraps up the May 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. The Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. Go!
What's up, Africa? It's Jackson Vunganyi.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Cape Town.
Can I be up front with you? That's exactly what Nadia and I plan to do every Wednesday at 17:30 UTC. Upfront looks at issues that affect you.
Since the world is moving at a faster rate, there's need to have a major computer.
Interesting news.
Canadian man was sentenced for drunk driving after being pulled over in his mother's motorized wheelchair. 35-year-old man was fined and placed on probation.
And of course, music. No clouds in my stones. Entertainment, celebrities, you name it, we'll talk about it.
And of course, we love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts and comments. Our email address is upfront@voanews.com.
So don't forget to check us out every Wednesday at 17:30 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 1998, when Sterling Nesbitt was a 16-year-old high school junior, he took part in a dig expedition in New Mexico's Zuni Basin. During that dig, the budding young paleontologist found a unique and nearly complete skeletal fossil. Today, Nesbitt is now a paleontologist and an assistant professor at Virginia Tech. Nesbitt and his colleagues have recently determined that the fossil he had dug up over 20 years ago is actually an early and tiny relative of the mighty Tyrannosaurus rex. Scientists have determined that the dinosaur they name Susquehannas hazeleye stood nearly a meter high at its hips and was about 3 meters in length and weighed between 21 and 41 kilograms. Despite its diminutive size, Susquehannas hazeleye is said to have been much like its bigger cousin, a ferocious carnivore that ate a diet of small animals. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA.